Lift. We've been talking about this desire that God has for all of us to begin to raise the level of life that He has purchased for us. He died and He rose again that we might be redeemed, not just to sit back and do our own thing, but He rose again to make us the very representatives of His Son, Jesus. We are called to be something special. We're called to make a difference in this world. That is what it means to be saved. We are not saved from hell. We are saved to transformation. We are reclaimed to become a masterpiece, a work of art that God is working in us for a purpose. And so we've been talking about this, that we are called to lift. We're called to shoot for the moon. We are not called just to stay here in our everyday life, but we are called to go higher, to make a difference in this life. And so we've been talking about lifting our standards, that we have to consciously make an effort to begin to raise ourselves up in every area of our life. We've talked about raising our faith. We need to lift our faith. We need to every day grow deeper in understanding of who God is and trusting in Him and acting on that faith. We talked about raising our relationships, that we need to begin to take accountability for our relationships. People in our life are not just there for us to enjoy, but we have a responsibility to impact them, and we have a responsibility to watch what is impacting us. And so we need to take control of our relationships and begin to make them something that brings glory to God. Last week, we talked about lifting our lifestyle. You know, we want to be a person who shines in this world. We live in a dark world, people. And what happens is we can just become complacent, and our belief in Jesus just becomes a personal thing that's in us. And yet that is not what God has called us. We need to begin to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Jesus is coming back again, and He's going to ask, what did you do with this life I gave you? And we need to stop living in complacency. We need to stop living in mediocrity, in just so-so. We need to begin to live a life of holiness, live a life that lifts up the name of Jesus in everything that we do. And we talked about taking control of our conduct, taking control of our speech, how we talk. We talk about taking control of our thought, because what we think is what's going to eventually come out. And so as we raise our lifestyle, we can become powerful people in our life. Today I want to talk about another area that brings the power and the ability to do things in our life. Before we do that, let's look at our statement. We say, why are we raising these areas? Why do we need to change? Why do we need to focus? It's because we need to remember that we are reaching for the ultimate prize, not just for what we get here, and not just for what we need right now, not just for something that we're struggling with. We need to understand that there's something more than this life. What we do now is setting up the foundation for what God is going to do for us for eternity. We are reaching for the ultimate prize, which is the perfect life for all of us. God has a perfect life. See, so many times we just want a good life. You know what? I just want to enjoy these few good things. You know what? God has something more than that. Don't settle for the few experiences for the right now, the temporary. There is a perfect life that God is preparing for us, and it's for all of us, not just for me. We got to get that out of my head. It's not about me. It's about all of us, that we are going to move into this perfect life. And it only happens through the plan of God, through Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us a plan. And that's what we're trying to lift ourselves up to. We need to lift ourselves up to the plan of God that's going to bring about this ultimate prize. Well, what will help us do that? One of the main things is our prayer life. And so today, I want to emphasize, and we're going to look at this. We're coming up on the National Day of Prayer. We talked about Sunday evening prayer. We need to lift our prayers. When we lift our prayer from a different level, it's not just the, every time we eat, Lord, bless this food. It's not every time we go to bed, now I lay me down to sleep. There's those little prayers, you know, when we go on a trip, God, give us a safe trip. We have gotten used to small prayers. Even in our routine, we've gotten used to just a tradition of prayer. We just go through the motions of prayer. And yet God is looking for a people who will lift their prayer, who will begin to understand the power of prayer, that prayer is not just a ritual, but prayer is a relationship with God. God is looking to hear from His children. He is looking to hear from His family. He wants us to come into communion with Him, to communicate with Him, to walk in this connection with Him. And it is in that connection that we find power. It is in one area of Africa that the story goes that there's a tribe there, and they have developed the routine that they would come together to pray, but then throughout the week, it was up to each individual person to find that place of prayer and to seek God, and they emphasize this. We need to pray together, but we need to pray on our own, so that when we do come together, we are able to feed off of that. And so in their village, they would go out and find a place in the forest outside the village, a quiet place where they could pray on their own. And because of that, when they would go on a regular basis, there begin to be these paths that begin to grow through the village out into the jungle, and each person, basically, that was their prayer path, they called it, because they knew where that person went, there was a path that began to beat the grass down as they went every day. It created this path, and because of that, it began to be a great way of accountability, because it began to be a saying that they could look, and if after a while, if someone had neglected their prayer life, they didn't have to look at the person's life, but they could look at their path. And this is the saying that they would say, "Brother, there's grass in your path." Because they know if they weren't praying, the grass would start to grow back over the path that they had beaten. Well, today, we need to understand that we need to look and encourage one another, because in a lot of us, there's grass in our path. A lot of us don't have a good path anymore because we have neglected spending that time seeking God. And we don't necessarily have a path that we can look at, but I'm going to tell you, we can see it in our own life. If you feel like God is distant, if you've been struggling, I want to tell you, maybe there's grass in your path. Maybe you haven't been spending time seeking God, opening up to God, letting Him speak to you, and spending that time in prayer and in the Word that we need. And that is why we need to lift the level of our prayer. Why do we need to lift our prayer? I want to just read through some of these verses, and these are some of the reasons and some of the values of prayer. First of all, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, this is what Jesus said. He told them a parable. In other words, He was teaching them, and this is why He teaches them. He says He told them a parable, in effect, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So here's one of Jesus' teaching. Then He went on to tell a story. But the point of His story was that I need to teach you that you ought always to pray. Jesus was telling them everyone needs to pray, because prayer is our strength. Prayer is our connection to God's presence in our life. And I'm talking about real prayer, and we're going to talk about what that means. Not just saying a prayer, not just saying some words, but He's talking about a personal connection with God. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, this is what Paul tells us. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul says it is important that you be steadfast in prayer. Don't let anything get in the way. It's easy to let distractions come, but we need to be watchful that our prayer stays strong. in Mark chapter 9, verse 28. It was a story of a man who brought his child who was afflicted by a demon. And the disciples prayed for him and they couldn't help him. Nothing happened. And they couldn't drive out anything. And Jesus immediately came to the boy and healed him and made him whole. And it says, when they had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." You see, real prayer. It's not just praying over him and saying, "Okay, God, heal him." But it said they had not been spending time in prayer. There are things in your life that you're never going to get the victory over until you begin to spend time in prayer. Not over the issue. Now, we pray for the things that we want a lot. But he's talking about, but have you just been spending time with God? Do you spend time in prayer? There are some things in your life until you begin to seek God and just spend time in prayer with him and get closer to him and begin to listen to him. That is when you begin to see the power to be able to speak to things in your life that you are struggling with. Jesus put it this way. We all know in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross in Matthew chapter 26, he told his disciples this, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus said, you need to understand your flesh is weak, so you need to pray. We need to always watch and pray, because if we do not pray, what did Jesus say? You're going to fall into temptation. I don't care how strong your faith is. I don't care how much you believe in Jesus. If you don't have a healthy prayer life, the enemy is there to tempt you, to pull you away from God, and we will fall if we do not build up our prayer life. How many know we love the words of Paul when he says, "The things I want to do, I end up not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing those things." Why? Because we are not spending time in prayer. He goes on and he answers his own question. He says, what is the answer? The answer is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Those who begin to put their life and seek Christ, begin to see Christ, begin to move in the Spirit, and begin to receive that connection that comes through prayer. And of course, we have that even in the Old Testament, that great promise. And this is teaching, this is a principle that God says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by name, my name would just humble themselves and pray and seek me and turn from their way, then I would hear from heaven, I would heal their land." You know what? If we want to see God move, we need to pray. And we need to be serious about prayer. We need to stop doing little quick, easy prayers. We need to understand that there is nothing bigger in your life to take time for than serious prayer. And I'm not saying that you need to spend 3 hours a day, but you need to spend time praying. You need to find a time to begin to seek God and let him move in your heart. Now, two things real quick. Of course, in the Bible, we have a lot on prayer, and God teaches us about prayer. We have teachings on the mechanics of prayer. In other words, how do we pray? Jesus talked a lot about this, especially in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. We know that he tells us how to pray. And the first thing in Matthew chapter 6, he says that prayer is meant to be humbly. We come before him humble. And that means it doesn't have to be fancy. It's not about what people think about. Prayer is not about the show of prayer. It's not that you stand in front of people. Prayer is meant to be done personally. That you just have a personal connection with God. You know, his disciples said, "Teach us how to pray." Well, he showed them that it's not a certain way to pray. It's just you pray in your own way, in your own heart. Express yourself to God. He hears you. That we begin to just open up. And maybe we spend time listening. It's not always even talking. But humbling ourselves and understanding that we just come before God and we want to hear from him. And we open up our hearts and we share ourselves with him. It's all about simply finding a simple way to pray. So here's the mechanic. There is no one way to pray. Just come before him humbly. Just come before him personally. Just be yourself and God is there. You don't have to create an environment and then God will meet you. I didn't do it right, so God, no. It can be in your car going to work. It can be at your desk at work. It can be in school. But it is taking a conscious, humble effort to connect to God. Not only is it humbly, but it is planned. We see in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, and when I say planned, I do not mean that you write down what you're going to say and my prayer itself is planned. When I say planned, I mean that you need to intentionally plan to pray. I will purpose in my heart, I will set aside time to pray. In other words, I've got to put it in my schedule to pray. Because if you don't put it in your schedule to pray, how many know that I mean to pray? Okay, I'm going to pray. But if you don't plan it, and if you don't make an effort to do it, you end up at the end of the day, oh, shoot, I didn't pray. And by the end of the week, I didn't pray all week. You have got to pray. Luke 5, verse 16 is just one. It says that Jesus many times went off by himself to pray. It was his routine. He made prayer a priority. It doesn't matter how you do it, but you need to plan it. So we need to begin to make a priority of prayer. And you might say, but I've got to do this. No, you don't have to do anything. You have to pray. If you want to see God move in your life, you have to pray. We get away with it only because there's not an immediate consequence. But there is a consequence if we don't pray, and you just are not experiencing it yet. And so I want to encourage you, start praying, because there's a consequence coming if you don't. There is temptation, there is failure, there is weakness. We need to pray, and we need to plan it. Jesus himself had to plan to pray. He got up early in the morning if he needed to. He went out late at night if he needed to. He understood his schedule. How many know Jesus had a busy schedule? So we don't have any way to complain, but I have a busy schedule. Jesus was constantly, it said, bombarded by the people, and yet he made time to pray. It needs to be planned. It needs to be prioritized. And it also needs to be consistent. You can't pray once in a while and hope to have any type of power or relationship with God. How many know if you have a friend, you only talk to him, you know, once a year or three times a year, you stay in touch, but you don't have that close relationship. You can stay in touch with God, but if you want to see him move in your life, you need to be consistent. 1 Thessalonians is as consistent as it says, pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean you're constantly praying, okay, God help you, everything you do. It means, but never stop praying. Never stop making room for prayer in your life. Be consistent. We need to do it over and over again. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. We get out of the habit is when we stop doing it. We need to be consistent in our prayer. So this is the basic mechanics of prayer, general prayers. Now, there's a lot of stuff there's all different types of prayer. There's times that we're going to pray at the altar. There's times that we're going to pray standing up. There's going to be times. There's all different ways, and you can do that, but they still need to be humble and personal. They still need to be planned. You make priority, and it needs to be consistent over and over in your life. So what is the substance of our prayer? We know that the Bible tells us, what do we need to pray? How do we need to pray in our hearts? And of course, Jesus in Matthew 6 gives the pattern of prayer. This is never meant to become what the enemy has made it into as a saying, that I say the Lord's Prayer. I'm glad you say the Lord's Prayer, but saying the Lord's Prayer means absolutely nothing. There's no power in that unless you begin to understand the purposes behind the pattern of prayer. Jesus is saying, these are the things you need to pray for. It is not, there's no power in the words. The power is in connecting with the substance of what he was saying. And real quick, and you've probably heard this before, but he started out, he said, this is how you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, he's saying, you need to begin to pray with adoration. You need to take time to say, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, I love you. We need to have, at some point in our prayer, a true connection of love to the Father. I love you. God, honor yourself. I lift you up. And then, of course, he went on and said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. At some point, we need to have kingdom-building prayer. In other words, we need to understand that our prayer is meant to bring ourselves in alignment to build the kingdom, because it's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God that he wants to see established in this world. He wants to bring life to those who are dead. And so we are called to partner with him. And prayer is that way that he leads us in showing us his will. And we begin to surrender and say, God, I want your kingdom to come in my life. God, I pray that your will would be done in my life. God, I surrender myself that whatever you want to do, show it to me, and I will accept it. You see, we begin to pray the kingdom. We begin to say, God, let my life be part of building the kingdom. As we do that, it is a yielding, it is a surrendering. And then, of course, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And I love, you notice that he said this word, us. He didn't say, give me today my daily bread. That's what we usually pray. God, I want this. God, I need this. He says, this is what we are to pray. Give us our daily bread. We need to begin to understand that prayer is about intercessor. What does it mean to intercede from? In other words, it says to put yourself in the place of someone else. We need to begin to pray for others. And it does mean their needs. This is our daily bread. We need your touch today. God, my brother is hurting. I lift them up. God, give them what they need. Help them in the day of their struggle. We need to begin to intercede for one another. We need to begin to pray for one another, to lift each other up. And yes, that does include ourselves. Last of all, we intercede for ourselves. God, you know what? This is on my heart. I need your touch today. But more than anything, we need to intercede before the Lord and pray for one another. And then we need to pray for reconciliation. He said, Father, forgive my sins as I forgive those that have hurt me. We need to pray reconciliation. God, reconcile us. Bring us closer. Bring us together. God's desire is for a family. His desire is not for individual Christians and believers. And so if we are going to connect to that, we need to pray, God, make us a family. That means we need to get past these things that have hurt us. Help me to be a forgiver. Help me to be the first one to start reconciliation. And it starts with me and you, God. God, forgive me. Bring me close to you. And we begin to pray reconciliation, repentance, forgiveness. Because in that forgiveness, there is power. And it is in that forgiveness that we find growth and the ability to go to the next step. And then finally, he says, Lord, lead me, not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. What he's saying there is we need to begin to pray sanctifying prayers. Set me apart, God. God, I don't want to live just for me. Lead me, God, but don't lead me into my desires, because temptation comes from what I want. God, I pray that you lead me into what you want. Deliver me from evil and let me be your ambassador. Let me be your example. God, sanctify me, set me apart. Sanctify just means I don't want to just give in to the world. I want to be new and separate. We need to begin to pray that. God, help me. God, help me, not for what I want, but help me so that I am an example of you. When we begin to pray to be an example for God, how many knows he'll answer that prayer? You know, if we pray, God, I want to be more like you. I want to make a difference. Of course he's going to answer that prayer, because that's exactly what he wants in our life. So when we begin to pray these things, this is the substance of our prayer. Whether we pray that in every prayer or maybe one time we pray one of those. Maybe we plan it out that tonight this is what I'm going to focus on, just adoration. Maybe tomorrow morning I'm going to focus just on kingdom building. And we begin to pray that. But this is the substance of our prayers. Everything we pray falls into this somewhere in one of these topics. And that's what Jesus was telling us when he gave us this pattern of prayer. When we begin to pray these things, rather than just, oh, help me, God, the selfish prayers, then they become powerful. So that's the mechanics and the substance of prayer. But here's what I really want to talk about today. The impact of prayer. Because if we're going to raise the level of our prayer, we need to not just learn how to pray and what to pray. That's good, but there is something that goes beyond that. Because a lot of us have heard that before. A lot of us have talked about the mechanics of prayer, and a lot of us have known the substance of prayer, but then we say, but why are my prayers still not effective? Why do I feel like I'm still, you know what, I pray the Lord's Prayer, and I pray those patterns, and I plan my prayer, and I do those things, but it seems like I'm still not doing anything. This is what I want to talk about, that we raise the level of our prayer. And the good example is that this is an illustration. It talks about a boat in a lake or in the ocean. And this boat is just a wallowing. It has no direction, and it's going to be lost. And so they throw the hook to try and catch on the piling on the pier, or even a hook onto the shore, so that they can pull that rope and it pulls the boat into it. But when you throw that hook and it hooks onto the pier, and if you're in that little rowboat and you're trying to pull yourself to safety, when you pull, I want to ask you this, are you pulling the pier to you? Are you pulling the shore to you? Or are when you pull, are you not pulling yourself to the pier? Right? Have you thought about that? You have no way to pull the shore to you. Okay? That would be crazy to think that way. And yet many times in prayer, we throw the hook of prayer and we pray as if we're trying to pull God to us. We need to understand that lifting the level of your prayer means that you throw the hook of prayer and I am pulling desperately so that I will pull myself closer to God. The whole reason of praying is not to get God to do what I want, but to bring me to the place that I begin to become what God wants. And that's when we begin to lift the level of our prayer. It starts with this. We need to begin to pray with this as our focus. I'm going to pray in His will. See, when we begin to change our purpose of prayer, that no longer am I praying for myself, I am praying to know God. I am praying so that His will would be done in my life. That changes everything. It doesn't matter what subject you're praying for, adoration, intercessory, reconciliation, it's all for God. When I begin to pray for God rather than me, it lifts the level of my prayer. And I'm going to tell you, we need to begin to intentionally focus on that. And I know our minds will start to wander. You're going to start to pray that and you're going to go the other way. You need to, time after time, stop yourself. Okay, no, start over again. And you might start over again 15 times in a prayer until you get it right. Because your heart, the way we are, we naturally move towards ourself. So we need to constantly, Paul puts it this way, I beat my chest lest I fail while preaching to others. We need to constantly take control of our mind when we're praying. Don't let it wander. Begin to have a purpose that I'm going to seek Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of Him." What a great promise. I know that God will answer every prayer of mine if I ask according to His will. If I begin to find His will and pray that, then He's going to answer every prayer. And I'm going to be pulled towards Him. Now, how do you know the will of God? Here's what is so important in prayer. The Word of God. When you begin to combine the Word of God with your prayers, this is the will of God. The reason He's given us the revelation of His character, of who He is, and what He did, and what He has done, and what He's going to do, because He's revealing us, as we begin to pray the Word, this is where we find the will of God. This is the will of God, not what you think the will of God, and not some feeling. Some people, we are Pentecostal, and some Pentecostals have gotten to the point to where experience and the move of the Spirit is more important than the Word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no move of the Spirit that will ever separate itself from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Spirit. It says the Word of God is the breath of the Holy Spirit. So I don't care, there is no experience that is going to override the importance of the Word of God. So as you pray, and we're going to get to the importance of the Spirit. I believe in the Spirit, and there's power in the Spirit, but it will never go against the Word of God. So this is how we pray in His will. James confirms that also. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we need to begin to stop praying for our passions and pray for the will of God. The second thing to raise the level of our prayers is we need to pray in fervency. We need to come back to a heartfelt, passionate prayer. We need to understand prayer is personal. It is not reading a proclamation. God has no concern with words that you say. He is concerned with your heart. He is a father. He is not a judge that you are petitioning. He is your father that you are coming and opening your heart to. It says in James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, in the ESV, which is this, and the NIV, this is what it says. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. But if you really get into the Greek and go further, you can look at the Amplified version, which the Amplified goes down to the very literal meaning of every word. This is how it puts it in the Amplified. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you might be healed and restored. For the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or a believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. You see, it is when our prayers are heartfelt and persistent. In some other translation, it says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. When you pray fervently, then it makes a difference. In other words, when you care about what you're praying for, God hears it. You know, when you really care, then it means something. We need to start praying like we care. We need to, you know, it's real easy to pray when it touches us. When our child is on the deathbed, or when our grandkid is facing hard things, oh, we feel it then. But can we feel it when we look across our nation and we see evil just growing? When we see things going on around us, can we feel it then? We need to begin to have the heart of God and begin to feel the heart of God and pray with passion and persistence. You can put those two words next to that word fervency. Because fervency is passion and persistence, and we don't give up. Fervency also means you pray more than one time. You keep at it. And Jesus prayed that we ought always to pray and not give up. When we begin to have fervent prayers, when you begin to show up on Sunday night and you truly seek God, when you begin to care about praying, I'm going to tell you, things are going to start happening. You're going to see the Spirit move. You're going to see God show up when we have fervency in our prayer. The last thing is we need to pray in the Spirit. If we're going to raise the level of our prayer, yes, we need to pray His will, and we need to pray passionately and fervently, but we need to pray in the Spirit. People, we need the Holy Spirit to pray in us. How many know that we many times don't know His will? We many times just don't have the passion that we know we should have. It's just not there. That's okay. Then you know what? It's at those times that we need to begin to turn it over to the Spirit. We need to consciously say, Holy Spirit, I'm still going to pray, and I want you to pray through me, and begin to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And we begin to seek the Holy Spirit. And this is where we need to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek a prayer language that as the Holy Spirit fills us, He will give us a prayer language. We will begin to be able to pray in that language that we don't even know, but the Holy Spirit will give it to us. It is not spooky and it's not weird. It is a move of the Spirit that empowers us to pray in a way that we cannot pray on our own. Romans 8, 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings, with words too deep for words." We need to begin to let the Holy Spirit have its way. Many people, the reason they're afraid of moving the Holy Spirit is because it is a pride issue. Well, I'm going to look crazy or I feel silly. Well, when you begin to care more about God than how we look or how we feel when we speak in weird words, then the Holy Spirit can move. It is that surrender. It is that humbling, that humbling that allows the Spirit to move. But we need to let the Holy Spirit intercede through us in groanings and words that we can't even imagine. We don't know what they are, but God, you help me. And in fact, the word there that it says that He intercedes for us is the word that He helps us to hit the mark. You see, sin and selfishness means we miss the mark of who God is. But the Holy Spirit helps us to hit the mark, helps us to connect with God. We need to spend time. And it's not a public thing. I'm not talking about going around and speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit to say, look at me. In fact, that's absolutely the opposite. You need to, on your own, begin to pray in the Spirit, to begin to practice that. We need to practice praying in the Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit speak and pray through us. In fact, when it talks about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, this is how he closes it. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. We need to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and to that end, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We need to pray in the Spirit, in English and in a spiritual language. It doesn't matter. Pray in the Spirit. Seek the Spirit. Let the Spirit speak through you. Jude chapter 1, which we'll be looking at Wednesday, says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." When you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, it not only makes it a powerful prayer, but it builds you up. When we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up. We strengthen ourselves against this world that tries to crush us. So I want to encourage you, if we are going to lift our prayers, I want you to, yes, let's have the right mechanics. Let's pray humbly. Let's pray in the way that God has taught us. Let's pray the substance of our prayers. Let's pray those things that Jesus taught us. But more importantly, as we pray, let's begin to pray for one purpose, the will of God. God, I want to seek you. I want to know you. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. But we got to start seeking it with all our heart. And then we need to begin to practice praying in the Spirit. When we begin to lift our prayers in these ways, it says that God is going to move. It says that God will hear our prayers. He will hear from heaven. He'll heal our land. And He will show up. And He will begin to move in our life. But we need to lift the power of our prayer. And more than that, what would happen when a whole church lifts the level of our prayer? What happens when together we lift the level of our prayer? We begin to pray the will of God. We begin to pray with fervency and passion. And we begin to let the Holy Spirit move in our church. I'm telling you, nothing can stop the church of God when we begin to pray with power. It says, God will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Let's lift our prayers and let God begin to have his way in our life. Let's bow our hearts.